We are going to have an opportunity for you to deal with some questions or comments that you might want to share on the chat. And if you go to the chat feature, the one thing I ask is that you not direct your chats to me privately, but instead they need to go to everyone or to Krista Hassler. Krista, our program director at Agape Curie Beach, is here kind of monitoring those for me if you have something to share in the chat that is helpful to the group. So again, chat should be for everyone or directed to Krista Hassler, please. Well, the challenge today is to ask yourself, am I or is my organization prepared to deal with whatever kind of crisis or challenge might come our way? Uh-oh. Next slide. Come on, next slide. I think I got to reset this one more time. Come on.
Andy, go down in the bottom left where the arrows are. Right there.
Yeah.
There you go. Hit that one.
Got it. Thank you. Hopefully I will be able to control everything I still want to control that way. It's a new way. I'm learning. Bear with me. So anyway, we're hoping that this will be a little bit of how to do some planning for a crisis for you. The title is Planning for a Crisis. It is 2020 and everything's up in the air. How many of you have made decisions, changed them, made decisions, changed them, made decisions, changed them, and repeated since March over and over again? I think we've all found that adapting can be a challenge in today's environment. I have this quick video. I'm hoping it's going to let me show now. It's not the same. All right, Chad, how do I play that?
I don't have an answer for that question.
Oh boy. I think we're queued up the wrong way around somehow because it was working before.
Oh, there, click on that.
Whatever I just did, okay. Here we go. Maybe.
Different countries. And here we are. The start of the first event. Second semi final of the 100.
Okay, that's not supposed to happen.
With no sense of direction. Just give you the competitors. Lane 1, Skolimowski of Poland. Lane 2, Zanapatik of France. Lane 3, Grobovich of the United States. Next to him, Travel of Trinidad. Next to him, Fernandez of Spain. And in the outside lane, Foreman of Brazil.
Okay. No. Anyway, it's presenting me some challenges here right now. Hopefully that clip is not what your planning and your crisis management plan looks like. Even as we're planning, I hope that our activities and programs don't look like that craziness taken off the starting line, but instead we've done a good job of planning. All of us, all of you have likely spent hours, days, or weeks doing what you can to develop risk management plans, reduce, shift, and eliminate risks in your settings. And if you have, give yourself a high five because that's important work. And if you have not yet done so, now is the time. For the work that we do here in Outdoor Ministries is about caring for God's creation and caring for the people in God's creation. And it is our task to make sure we have done our best to reduce risk by doing risk management. The two key words in this title for our planning today is planning for a crisis. So let's look at those two words and what they are defined as. Crisis, a stage and a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events is determined for better or worse, a turning point. I don't know about you, but I have very seldom, if ever, heard anyone describe a crisis potentially as a turning point for the better. We tend to define crisis as a negative thing. But if we handle it properly, planned for well, even a crisis can be a positive turning point and opportunity for us, which leads us to why the next word is so important, planning. Planning a scheme or a method of acting to arrange beforehand, developed and advanced, a definite purpose. These are the two key phrases throughout our learning time today. Turning point equates with crisis, and definite purpose equates with planning. Why is having a plan important? One, we can meet a crisis beforehand with a definite purpose. Think for a moment about what it is you want to accomplish when facing a crisis or a challenge. Two, having a positive approach. Face challenges in a positive way. Know that I am ready to face this challenge and not let the moment overwhelm me. Why is having a plan important? Number three, it helps others. Helps others to know you acknowledge the issue, that you understand and empathize with their feelings and concerns, and then you are ready to lead. Gives others purpose, confidence, and hope. Builds trust amongst your team and amongst those who support your ministry. Provides something to work towards and not be swallowed up by the crisis at the turning point when it happens. Number four, planning is a part of a leader's call. Yours and my call is to be responsible in being good leaders for the future. Good leaders in the sense of a crisis or in the moments that happen to us day by day. Number five, a plan can protect not only yourself and others, maybe your coworkers, board members, collaborators, and donors, but it can actually protect the brand of your organization. Number six, a plan can and often does keep you sane. I know it's important for me when I'm getting back to the plan and organizing myself, especially when I feel uncertain about what's next. A plan can and does give me some sanity. Has planning ever been a part of our faith life? Well, how about the story of Jesus? His birth, his ministry, his death, and resurrection. A plan with a definite purpose that culminated in a dramatic turning point. The crisis of Jesus' death turned into victory on the cross over that same death. Then there are the parables of Jesus that are numerous that help us see these turning points as well. The feeding of the 5,000, John 6:1-14, the crisis was certainly that there was not enough. The turning point was the sharing, the blessing, and the baskets came back flowing over. The Good Samaritan in Luke 10:29-37, the crisis, abandonment, and rejection. The turning point, the Samaritan going beyond what is the norm in a loving response. The weeds and the wheat in Matthew 13. The crisis is those weeds growing up in the wonderful crop that's been planted. And the turning point is that call to be patient, to wait and see what will be harvested. The disciples out fishing in the boat and no one's catching fish on one side and the nets are cast to the other side. The crisis of no fish and the turning point is do it again, try again on the other side. Have faith. Maybe it's the woman caught in adultery. The turning point for those in that crowd is when Jesus says, "Those of you without sin, cast the first stone." And the stories throughout the Bible, the book of Philemon, the story of Job, and many others, are filled with opportunities where it appears there's a crisis, and yet the Bible, the stories of the Bible, use the turning points to make a positive new story from that crisis. Has planning ever been a part of your own personal faith journey? For me, I'm a planner and I like grand plans, and I don't always get my way. But hearing God's call has meant many different and even greater things for me along the journey. Some of those moments have felt like crisis moments, and now I can see they truly were positive turning points in my faith journey. Have any of the personal crises you or your organizations have faced led to a positive outcome, new opportunities? Sometimes our faith and relying on the community of faith is all we have in the midst of a personal crisis, or all we appear to have, at least. Others around us, the stories of the Bible, and professionals may help. In fact, they can help us see the positive turning points in a new light. Personally, I have to say that some of my own turning points in my journey have softened me. I've often been kind of known for my drivenness and kind of my desire to always have everything be a little bit on the perfect side. That's my planning side really shining through. But it's been softened in those turning point moments when I have found that maybe that's not the best way to do my job, to handle my family, to deal with friends, to supervise staff, or to deal with a crisis that may happen. So what are some of the crises or disasters that we in LOM might need to plan for? Well, here's some pictures of things that are real. Forest fires in our camps, and we're all dealing with the COVID-19 storm pandemic. And there are storms around the country that have touched many of our operations. And I'm sure there's a snowstorm coming in the Midwest that is probably going to be another one of those down the road. Here's a list of some of the things that we might need to plan for along the way. Fires in buildings and property, flooding, property and buildings, tornadoes, hail, wind, earthquakes, hurricanes, death by suicide, accidental death, armed intruder, violent acts, forest blight, sexual misconduct, racial injustice, COVID-19, bed bugs, rape, cyber attacks on our organization's reputations, mold, discrimination based on gender, blizzards, disgruntled employees, exclusions of anyone based on their physical or emotional needs or spiritual needs. And the list could go on and on. There are so many things to be prepared for, to plan for. The national insurance industry says this: natural disasters have risen fourfold during the past 16 years in America alone, and they will continue to rise. So who here has dealt with some kind of crisis or disaster in your own camp setting? At some point, I think we all will, or we all have. The bigger issue is, how will we, or how have we responded? Are we prepared, or are we ready to let the crisis moment, the turning points, overcome us and turn negative? Can we use the crisis as a positive turning point loaded with opportunities? When I think about hurricanes and bed bugs, these are some of the things that we've faced here at Agape Kiri Beach Ministries. There have been some serious negative short-term impacts of those. Trust with guests, especially related to bed bugs. People saying, oh, I don't want those things. Well, I don't want to go there. Can I trust that the place will be clean and safe, that I can have a good experience? Maybe it's loss of income, especially when we've looked at hurricanes, but even bed bugs have been one of those things that have caused us some loss of income here. And then there's the cost of reparations. Not only reparations of repairing buildings or facilities or cleaning things or killing bed bugs that might be in facilities that we operate for the next group that comes. But how are we going to handle those people when they're headed home, especially when we look at bed bugs, people who take them home in their cars or take them back to their own homes? How is that going to affect us, and what are we going to do to help them weather that storm as well? Then there's the fear of future impact or reputation to your brand or who you are as an organization. All of these things are serious short-term impacts that can be negative for our operations. But we've also experienced benefits from hurricanes and bed bugs. There have been things we've been able to turn around and say, aha, we have learned from this. Hurricanes, we are now better prepared. We have solid procedures. We know what to do to be prepared, what steps go in what order, what needs to be done in order to make our facilities secure and our guests safe. Facility upgrades. Because of hurricanes, we've done things like replace traditional shingles on the roof with scalloped heavy-duty shingles that are wind-resistant, impact windows instead of traditional windows. We've added a snow fence in front of our facility to try to build the dune up to stop the storm surge. Some of these things are positives that have come from our experiences with hurricanes in the past. Also, community engagement. We're more involved with our local community in Kiri Beach, and emergency management has designated our building as a potential site in case of a severe storm for them to coordinate from. Roles to respond have included things like our staff being much more prepared and knowing their roles in advance before these events happen. Over on the bed bug side, there's knowledge. Our staff, many of us can identify bed bugs and the signs of bed bugs and the evidence in order to know if we have an infestation. Training. We have our professional exterminator coming to train our summer staff to know how to look for bed bugs before a bad outbreak happens, and gives our staff confidence to know where they come from, how we can handle them, what we do when we find some. Cleaning. We've certainly learned what to do when bed bugs are identified and how to clean spaces better. Prevention. We've learned how to use spray-on alcohol to be something that deters the growth of the eggs in and around where bed bugs typically thrive. We've got dogs who come to our sites quarterly and inspect all of our sleeping spaces to make sure we do not have bed bugs. These are all prevention things that have been positives for us. Teaching. We've also been able to teach and educate many of our guests and calm their fears and their misconceptions about how, why, and where bed bugs appear. So there have been some positives for us. Have any of you seen any positive turning points or changes in direction as a result of a crisis you've faced? Likely that kind of change can only happen and feel good if you had a plan and can now see how that plan helped prepare you and equip you not only for that crisis, but future events. We do still need to prepare with a definite purpose. And of course, there are resources to help us in that kind of planning. Resources include, of course, your insurance companies, great places. They understand and know what the risks are, and they can help you identify and put together a plan. ACA, one of their main focuses, is certainly to help us be better at identifying and dealing with those situations. State, local health departments and other government agencies can be helpful. Even private disaster preparedness teams can help you in the process as well. Synod, district, church leaders can also be helpful as resources. Lutheran Disaster Relief. And this is the one I'd like to spend a little more time on. It's each other. I'm not so sure that we take advantage of that resource to the level that we should. we have all shared in similar kinds of experiences. And very few people you associate with really get what it is you do or we do in outdoor ministries. And to have other people who empathize and understand, I think, is a really important thing. Whether it be Lutheran outdoor ministry professionals or other professionals from other outdoor ministry organizations, we have an opportunity to learn and grow from each other in this area, especially. Finally, there are local churches, community groups, such as your local Chamber of Commerce, or maybe it's your neighbors. We have some key neighbors at camp that have really come to our help in the times of crisis in several different opportunities. Maybe it's your board or people that your board members know, or your donors or friends of your donors who can be helpful as resources in your times of need. So what are some of the key elements to making a plan? Yes, it said this was going to be about planning for a crisis, so there better be a plan in this process, and there is. So here are some things we've put together about how to plan, how to prepare, how to be planned. Prepare risk assessment, number one. Two, attitude, stay calm. Three, response, assess the situation. Four, communicate. Knowledge is strength. Five, engage a course of action, carry out a plan. Six, rely on God and others. Get help as soon as possible. Seven, move forward. What have you learned? What needs to be improved? It's interesting to me that the list on the left side of the dash here is an exhaustive how to do risk management plan done professionally. The items on the right of the dash are the steps of our risk management plan here at Agape Kiri Beach Ministries, except for number four. Number four, the communicate, is one that sits kind of outside as a precursor to our plan currently. And also, the one other thing I changed here is in number six, you find the word God, rely on God. I added that to the plan that was put together by the professionals looking for ways to do this. So let's spend a little more time looking at what each of these means. Prepare risk assessment. Know some of the risks. It's hard to get them all. But handling some in advance gives you a formula for handling others. And it's important to do that preparation. Two, attitude. Stay calm. Don't panic. Be positive and cast a vision for what's on the other side of the crisis. It's important to understand the words you use and the tone you use here really make a difference. A positive attitude inspires others, motivates staff and volunteers, and stabilizes your image, bro. So have a good attitude. Response, assess the situation. Take time to discover and know what is needed. What can we do now? What needs to wait? Who can help immediately? Know the order of things that need to be done. Communicate. Knowledge is strength. This is the one that is not our plan at camp, but it's one that I would like to add to our plan going forward. Share the story and the need with those who need to know in a timely manner. What do leadership staff need to know? What do counselors need to know? A negative can certainly be keeping others in the dark so that they speculate and create their own narrative. That seems a bit unwise when you're trying to handle a crisis to kind of multiply it. So communication plays a key role. Again, I want to emphasize the use of good words in what you say and the careful process of thinking through those words. At Agape Kiri Beach Ministries, we currently have an issue at our Kiri Beach site. It's a mold issue. We've been very careful, even in the board and in our staff, to instead use the word environmental challenge. The word mold casts some kind of shadow. As soon as you say that word, people start to think it's unsafe. Well, our situation is one that involves some mold, but it's not unsafe mold, at least at this point. And we're doing things to manage it and care for it in a proper way to eliminate it down the road. So using the word environmental challenge and the kind of language you use is really important in your communication. The tone of your words is also critical here. And make sure you've clearly laid out who crafts the story that's going to be told in the midst of the crisis, when it's appropriate to share that story, and with whom it's appropriate to share that story. Andrea Schofield shared with me that when the fire happened at Luther Wood about a year ago, that she was a little bit struck by, I have to put out something. And it was Evan Moylan from GSB who helped her take the time to put together the message to be shared, to be crafted properly. I think sometimes we should think that way. Who outside the situation could do a better job of crafting that story than I myself, who may be too intensely involved in that situation? But the importance of crafting the story and sharing it in a proper order with the proper people and who is able to share it is a very important thing to work through in your communications. Communications also includes letting the local authorities know, police, your insurance companies, your board chair, your bishop. And don't forget to make sure your staff knows what's happening. At the right time, it'll be time to also tell your guests, your congregations, your congregation leaders, your donors, and your friends of camp. Engage a plan of action. Carry out a plan. Don't be like a Homer. Trust your advance work. Do the plan, but also be ready to adjust on the fly. Certainly, COVID-19 has taught us all about decision fatigue, making a plan, changing the plan, making the next plan, and adapting to the situation. One plan certainly can guide you, but one plan by itself cannot be forced to fit every scenario. Be nimble, be flexible, and most importantly, use your mission and your core values to guide you in carrying out that plan. And I want to stress that point. I think often it's easy to react in the moment, but make sure you take the time to step back. Where does this fit into our mission and into our core values? And are we doing a good job of carrying out that mission and those core values in this plan? Rely on God and others. Get help as soon as possible. You know, going it alone may be one of the biggest challenges we in outdoor ministries face. We need to be more about sharing. Pray. Ask for help. When needed, seek outside help. Don't be afraid to ask fellow outdoor ministry professionals for help. And very important is to build a team centered on faith and grounded in a belief that with God, you and your staff together can face any crisis that comes about. And then 7, moving forward. Try not to get stuck on the crisis. Keep moving. What did we learn here? What needs to be adapted for the next time and improved? What's next? Set out a plan to look forward and launch with new energy and new excitement. What needs to happen next? Move beyond the crisis and make sure you're moving your organization beyond the crisis as well. A quick summary of those plan steps. Prepare, risk assessment. Attitude, stay calm. Response, assess the situation. Communicate, knowledge is strength. Plan in action, carry out the plan. Rely on God and others, get help as soon as possible. and move forward, evaluate and improve. Use these steps as a guide. Add some of your own. Hopefully, you all have a plan with a definite purpose. And that plan follows a similar process to this one set forth. If you do, if you have one of these plans, make sure you learn it, you know it, you practice it. If you do not know it very well, then now is the time to get to know it before the next crisis is upon you and you're stuck trying to figure out what to do with that turning point. Well, that plan sounds all well and good. So how did it work for us all in March 2020 at the advent of a pandemic? Well, if you're like me, maybe not quite as well as I wished it might have worked. But until recently, I had not really embraced the whole idea of a turning point, and that COVID-19 has presented great opportunities for us in the midst of this crisis. So what are some of the positive turning points that have come from the COVID-19 storm? Well, how about benefits to our facilities? Less wear and tear on facilities, lower utility costs, and certainly we've used less energy than we were previously. Potentially, there's been a respite for some of your staff. A bit of a break from the constant go, go, go of the camp pace. And maybe you've had some staff who have had to work reduced hours or been furloughed. Not exactly the best thing that can happen, but it might actually be a strong, positive thing for them moving forward when we're ready to go again. Recovery of the land. I know around our place, the hiking trails and the fields and many areas have growth that they haven't seen in many, many years. It's kind of like the 7-year break here for the land. And hopefully it recovers well and is able to sustain us into the future. The return of wildlife, more prevalent and more variety on our site than ever before. One key example would be we do environmental education, which takes kids down into a swamp area. 25 years ago, we had active beavers working in that area. And over the course of the last 20 years, those beavers have completely vanished from our property. This summer and moving into this fall, the beavers have returned. They're back because there's not as many people tramping through their area. So the wildlife is returning. Procedural upgrades. We've caught up on a lot of our procedural things. Things that have been pushed aside in the past, hosting procedures and ways to do a better job of welcoming our guests to our site in advance and once they're here. Better signage, getting all those things in place so that we're ready to go. All those things that we keep saying we're gonna do. And now we've had an opportunity to do some of those. Clean facilities. Our facilities have never been as clean as they are today. After 25 years of constant use, we've had a chance to catch up. Improved hygiene, kitchen, and other places. We've practiced better methods of hygiene. We've got more hand washing signs and things telling people to take care of themselves than ever before. And I think we have an improved approach to dealing with those things. Regular contact with donors and key supporters. I have to admit, I was never really all that great at keeping up with our donors, especially before the pandemic. But now it's given me an opportunity and an important opportunity to connect with them way more. And I see that as a positive for our operation. Volunteerism, although one of the things that Evan had to say in his workshop this morning when we were talking about financial things coming out of COVID was that he said volunteerism may be down. For us, it's actually up, total hours of volunteerism. People have some time and are willing to come and share, and that's an exciting piece. Community connection has improved. On our site, we do social distance hiking. We've let the Chamber of Commerce and local businesses know that people can come out, schools, people can come out and hike on our property. And we've had a lot of exposure from people who otherwise would never have come across our property and taken advantage of our outdoor experience. Financial support has been a joy, having way more response, more faithful response than we ever expected. And so we've been overjoyed to be able to reconnect with many of our donors, and especially alumni staff and former board and some of those groups that we're now connecting with, but we've not in the past very well. We're more able to adapt to change. Hopefully you are too, that we're not quite as stuck in the, that's the way it always used to be, and there's nothing new under the sun, and I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. We all know that it's much more today important for us to be able to adapt to change and to make those changes without being tied to the past and what has happened before quite as much. Personally, our board of directors is way more connected. We've been engaged because we've been in meetings constantly, and those folks are more engaged in the process of what's happening in camp than ever before. Creative program thinking is refreshed. Changes like shorter weeks, longer times between groups, refocusing on small groups and cohort groups and how we're going to do certain things to be more aware of today's needs. I think those are positive creative things if we can twist them in that direction for our use. We've certainly expanded our social media reach way more than we were where we were a year ago. And it continues to expand. We've accelerated or rethink. We're rethinking the direction of our ministry. We're taking the time to say, what is it we're really all about? And where are we going next? What are we going to do around the corner? How are we going to serve the people of God even better? So we're able to rethink where we maybe before were too busy to take that time in some situations. We've accelerated our strategic plan. One example here is we had a plan to put together internet connectivity on the site of Camp Agape in the next 3 to 5 years. Now it'll be done within the next year. By a year from now, we will be internet connected fully at camp. And finally, we've refocused our environmental education program, which is a program designed to bring children to the site to experience God's creation in a beautiful setting. Now we're refocusing that to say, how do we go to schools and do that same kind of educating in the schools or in the schoolyards and around in parks surrounding the schools rather than in our site? These are just some of the ways that we've taken those turning point opportunities and looked for new ways to make COVID-19 a positive. So how do we plan for a crisis like COVID-19? Well, you can't. Who among you knew this pandemic was coming in 2020? All we can do is prepare for a crisis moments, those turning points. We all know the negatives of COVID-19. The relationships that are difficult, the connectivity, serving in person, experiential learning, s'mores, campfires, the energy of staff on our sites, songs, those aha moments, playing together, and the pure joy and laughter that comes from people present. But our challenge as servants of God in the world is to plan with a definite purpose and discover the positive turning points in every crisis. Not to simply lament and wish what could, what cannot be, but to seek new opportunities and to move forward. So in summary, by being faithful to our God and developing a plan, having a course of action in advance, we can take the crisis that appear to be negative and use any crisis as a positive turning point. A plan gives us a definite purpose. A crisis is simply a turning point. Are you going to approach it as a negative or a potential positive? So back to the title of this time, planning for a crisis. Planning for a crisis means having a definite purpose and finding the turning point. And you can look at any crisis in a new light. It's time for your questions, if you have questions. But while you're entering questions, I have a video clip I'm hoping shares better or looks better than that first one did this time around. It's about 5 minutes long, but I'm going to have it playing, and you can enter questions into the chat. And again, reminder that they should either go to Krista Hassler or comments, or go into the everyone part of the chat, if you would, please. The clip I'm going to share with you does not involve a crisis and is certainly the opposite of the one that I showed you on the running track at the beginning. It does show a plan and how a plan spreads to others, inspires, engages, and yes, brings about joy. View it with an eye toward helping yourself think of planning with a definite purpose and how you can use crisis as a turning point to make a positive impact. Let's hope it shows. Come on. There it is. Play.
like for summer camp.
Okay, now I'm just trying to figure out how to get out of here. Always open to suggestions, anyone?
Randy, just click on
there it is.
Completely. Thank you. Just click on your share screen thing and it will get you out.
All right. So the video clip says it all. Ode to Joy. It starts small. The plan develops. The plan begins to attract attention. The plan grows. The interest in being part of the plan also grows. More people are drawn in. Excitement grows and appreciation intensifies. Engagement happens. So what do you see happen in the crowd? Think about your crisis planning. Think about it with a new lens. What is the turning point? How can this challenge or crisis lead to a positive outcome? It is important to plan with a definite purpose in order to be effective. Leaders plan, and leaders look for positives in the turning points they face. A plan with a definite purpose inspires, and a plan can lead to discovery turning points. Now, are those crisis moments turning points, negative or positive? You decide. I want to thank you very much for joining me. That on the right is my 2-year-old granddaughter, Caden. And we're out exploring God's creation. We're pointing at a snake in the grass that we found outside as we were exploring together. And one of the positive turning points for me in COVID-19 is I probably get to spend more time with her than I would in our normal work time. So I get to teach her about caring for and appreciating God's creation. And that's a real joy for me. So again, thank you. And we're going to look and see. I guess we don't really have much for questions at this point. So if there are any questions, now's the time. Otherwise, I want to remind you about the other learning opportunities, the LOM business meeting, and those things happening throughout the week. And I want to ask you to join me in a closing prayer. Let us pray. Lord, guide us as leaders. Help us to use the gifts you have given each of us to meet challenges and crises moments with a plan. Fill us with your spirit as we see the challenges bombarding. Those bombarding us as potential turning points that proclaim your acceptance of all, your love and grace in all we do. Amen.
Randy, thank you so much. That was awesome. And I think you have inspired all of us to look for the turning points and to make plans that revolve around the positive and not the negative. Thank you so much, Randy. And thank you to the LTE committee, which has, they were not able to and plan for the normal type of LTE that would be in person, but they look for turning points, and they certainly have found ways to make plans for us to gather together as an LOM community. Alternatively to doing that in person in virtual ways that so far have proven to be really worthwhile. Thank you to the LTE committee, and don't forget, take a look at the LOM Silent Auction, which is going on 24 hours a day from now until Saturday, when the live auction will be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific. All right, everybody, I think, Randy, when you think you're ready, you can... you can disperse this meeting.
All right. Go in peace.